This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome to November 28th on This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert with you, Armand Kachigian, bringing you the events, the births, the deaths that have occurred throughout the annals of time on the 28th of November. You know, tomorrow's our one-year anniversary, Armand?
Oh, seems like a lot longer.
Does it?
Yes.
Wow.
What an arduous journey.
It's been a hell of an adventure, man.
Like the Odyssey.
Yes.
10 years, it feels like.
No. I don't know how to help you.
Retire.
You do most of the talking. I guess you don't like hearing yourself.
No. We'll see.
Yeah. Armand's sporting today the Foot Clinics of Lake County Limited t-shirt.
They're now defunct.
The best hands for the worst feet. That's a hell of a slogan, Armand.
It's not mine.
Yeah.
I just work there.
Yeah. Yeah. The Foot Clinics of Lake County.
Yeah.
I think the Blues Brothers might have been up there.
We killed a couple guys.
Podiatry in Lake County.
It's no longer there. So no, if you're looking for it,
that's a shame.
You won't find it. That's a shame. T-shirt's 25 years old.
Hey, don't forget we're brought to you by Amazon.com and Audible.com.
They are still extant.
Mm-hmm. They are very much extant. You can find them on our website.
Yeah.
This day
I'd like
in,
to find Bezos's $100 billion
there
on
you
my
go.
Website.
Yeah, thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, where you can click the Amazon banner or audible.com banner whenever Armand has a book, film, or any other recommendation for you.
Are you watching Powell get grilled?
No.
Boy, is that Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas. God, I hate that woman. She says, you know, she asked him, do you think we have enough regulation? Yeah, I think we do. Well, that's very troubling.
What? On what? On consumer?
Banking. My banking in general, you know? Mm. She was very troubled that the guy thought, yeah, in fact, we have too much. Too many rules. Are you ever going to satisfy that woman with rules? You think she'll ever be satisfied?
I don't know.
I'll tell you, no.
Okay.
She's on the warpath.
Oh, that's not good. What also is not good is you probably shouldn't honor Native Americans.
I love Native Americans. I hate Elizabeth Warren.
No.
In fact, the insult is to the Native Americans.
This is where I can't even finish a thought.
No, I do all the talking, remember?
You probably shouldn't honor Native Americans in front of a picture of Andrew Jackson.
Well, only a certain segment. I've had the Cherokee have their, they can,
well,
not every Native American.
Eh, I don't know, Armand. Not a fan.
Yeah, well.
He wasn't a fan.
I can honor anybody that does banking with Andrew Jackson. I love the guy. One of my favorite presidents.
Because he did nothing, right?
What do you mean he did nothing? He did a lot.
No, you love presidents who did nothing.
Eliminated the Second Bank of the United States.
That he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Killed a guy. That was good.
So
beat the British in 1815.
Even though the war was over.
It doesn't matter.
Who knew? He didn't know. That had to be a horrible.
That doesn't count, I guess.
That had to be a horrible. No, it counts. He beat him.
Okay.
I tell you, he beat him.
It's the only battle we won, so.
That had to be a horrible feeling. Man, we won this battle. This was awesome. You get a note. We came to a peace settlement back on the whatever date. And can you imagine holding that note in your hand going, you mean we just fought this for nothing?
I don't think Andrew Jackson
really
cared. And the Native Americans were on his side, by the way.
In the Battle of New Orleans?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
All right, here we go today, November 28th. You know what, Armand? The events today? Yeah. I'm just going to bust through.
Yeah.
1582, Shakespeare and Anne Hathaway.
I can't believe it costs 40 pounds for a marriage license.
40 pounds for a marriage. Yeah.
That can't be right.
You have hit the nail on the head. To me, the big story is not that Shakespeare and Anne Hathaway get their marriage license today. The big deal to me is that in 1582, a bond for a marriage license was 40 pounds.
Can't be right.
There is no, I agree.
It's probably because she was pregnant.
There
maybe
is no.
Something was wrong. She's already pregnant.
What would 40 pounds buy you in 1582 England? An estate?
Plenty. A sex robot?
Huge tracts of land?
Yeah. can't think of anything I
that
buy.
Cannot be correct. There is no way.
I think I'm going to be a digisexual. Have you been reading on that? Do you see that? Those robots?
You look into that.
It's like $6,800. That's not bad.
Yeah. So that you've hit the nail, though.
All right, whatever.
40 pounds.
It's not worth it. We both agree.
Stay single.
The hell up with that.
Or just live together and don't tell anyone
pregnant,
about
though.
It.
He did the honorable thing.
He did the honorable thing and paid 40 pounds. You wouldn't have done that.
Oh, hell no.
Exactly.
I'd have paid 20 pounds to a hitman and had her eliminated.
Save half the, no.
Or cheaper if I could get it done sloppily.
Yeah. 1660, the Royal Society is formed at Gresham College. This is something
they've done lately.
Well, you might have liked to have been in this. Now, it had some cool people. Yeah. Christopher Wren, Robert Boyle, John Wilkins, and Sir Robert Morey.
I don't know who Robert Morey is.
Well, he sounds nice. He's got a nice name. But Christopher Wren, that's good company.
Must have been the eel discoverer.
You know, a lot of architecture talk going on. Oh, yeah, there you go. Morey eel.
Isn't that what's the Hooper got his, he got his scar from a Morey eel?
Yeah.
Right through his wetsuit?
Yeah.
I got something for you.
Yeah, yep. That's true.
Morey eel.
Well, you know, Steve Irwin, he didn't die from an eel, but, you know, he got the puncture.
The manta ray, wasn't it?
From the from the giant manta ray.
What a dumb shit barn. He was.
No, he wasn't a dumb
Don't be messing around with those wild animals.
Well,
You're nuts.
Messing with it. He was
I
know. It's a freak thing, man.
Well, freak
you
things happen
think,
when you're
you would
swimming
think,
with
as much as he
swimming
was
swimming with the fishes.
Right in there with crocodiles and snakes.
Well, he's really testing his luck, isn't he?
And
pressing it.
Oh, God. I love that guy.
He already made his bundle. He should have quit while he was ahead.
1666. Now, this is one I think Armand's going to want to talk about.
No.
No? Well, the Royal Scots Army, with at least
fighting
3,000 men, led by Tom Dalyell.
Oh, the Irish?
Yeah, of the Bens.
Oh.
Defeat about 900...
Covenanters.
Covenanter rebels in the Battle of Roulon Green.
I don't know.
Nothing?
I don't know anything about
you
this
got
battle.
Nothing?
I don't know. I guess it's the Irish, because 1666, that's Charles II.
Well, we got a lot of fire going on in England in that time.
Yeah, I'll look into it. I may have something for you tomorrow.
Not a good year for the English, 1666.
Yeah.
Not a good year. 1811. Now, Armand, folks, and this is true, is a very good classic music aficionado. No, teasing.
Just ardent.
The premiere of this occurs in Leipzig.
Leipzig.
That's old East Germany, isn't it? At the Gwindenhaus. Gwindenhaus.
Leipzig.
Leipzig or Leipzig?
I think it might be in Poland, actually. Now.
Might have been in Poland at that
time. Now, I don't know where.
No, it's in East, it's in
there
Germany
was no Poland.
Now. Prussia?
Well, you play it, and
yeah,
I'll look it
they
up.
They might have hit, but anyway, this premieres, and it's the premiere of Beethoven's Piano Concerto number 5. Let me get plugged in.
Oh, it's in Saxony.
I don't hear a piano, Armand. What's going on here? Oh, there we go. Do you recognize this?
Of course.
I don't.
The Emperor.
Did Bugs Bunny use this in a cartoon?
No, yes, that's why you don't know it. And Mickey Mouse didn't play it in Fantasia either.
It's a whole concerto of this?
No, that's the slow part.
Who's this guy directing?
That's Lenny.
That's Bernstein.
Well, yeah. Bet he had a date with a guy afterwards. I know he smoked before and after. Never saw that. Every picture of that guy when he's conducting, you know, practicing, he's got a cigarette in his hand. Not necessarily a baton.
I tell you, when he gets going, his lips and jowls are flapping and flying all over the place.
I like Lenny, man. He's good.
Okay, this sounds
one
a little familiar
conductors.
To me. Well, this is Beethoven. It's got big chords and sound. Yeah, all right.
That's a little cadenza there.
Yeah, I'll take a listen to that. That's cool. Well, anyway, that premiered today. 1811.
Well, I guess I'm not sure that was for Napoleon. I guess it was. It's called The Emperor, but, you know, he got a little sick of Napoleon. That's why he changed the name of his third symphony to The Eroica.
Eroica.
Well, The Hero.
The Hero. Yeah.
You know, he didn't like Napoleon taking the crown from the Pope and crowning himself emperor. That was
Well, that's
hubris.
A ballsy move.
Yes.
I mean, you got to have some confidence just to go up and grab that crown and smack it down on top of your own head.
I think Trump would have done it.
Oh, I think he dreams of doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. 1814, Times of London becomes the first newspaper to use a printing press that's steam-powered. How about that? Built by the German makers, Koenig and Bauer.
Probably Koenig.
Koenig.
Koenig und Bauer.
Koenig. I grew up with tons of Koenigs.
I thought those were the guys, the last guys that were executed for sodomy.
No, that was yesterday's
Smith
show.
And,
Smith and not Wesson, but yeah. Smith and somebody. Yeah. Yeah, executed for sodomy. Yeah. So the Times of London. So a steam-powered printing press? Do you think they'll bring back sodomy?
Execution.
No. Well, yeah, it's still around.
Where?
I think Saudi Arabia. You can't do that. Oh. I think that's a death sentence,
isn't
it?
Well, they just throw you off a roof.
Well, that's an execution.
Yeah, but I'm talking about what they got.
They got hanged.
Yeah.
They got hanged. We got another execution coming up today, which is shocking.
They're fun.
Shocking date on, by the way. 1895. Well, I always said that when people ask, when's the first automobile race? And
I wouldn't have known this one.
My answer is the day the second car was built.
Oh, bull.
Well, close enough. But in 1895, the first automobile race is indeed conducted. Now, it takes place on a 54-mile stretch from Chicago, Jackson Park. Now, Jackson Park is not Grant Park, but Jackson Park is
south.
On the south side of the town, which was, in its day, an auto manufacturer, sort of mini Detroit, maybe even on par with Detroit at one point. They race from there up to Evanston, Illinois, 54 miles. The winner is Frank Duryea.
Duryea,
okay. Winning time, 10 hours to go 54 miles.
I don't think you're in much danger if you're sitting on the infield. Huh?
I'm not good at math, Armand. That's 5.4 miles an hour on average.
That's a pretty steady clip there.
You could have walked it nearly.
Almost.
What, did they have to stop and change tires a bunch? Seriously?
I don't know. You're the auto expert.
I am.
I just drive them.
But this is.
Anything about the history of it.
This is.
Okay, this is. We'll both agree that NASCAR was in its infancy.
This is not good. In 1895, if you told me that, I'd be like, no, I'll stick with the horse and carriage.
They went faster in the Great Race with Tony Curtis.
They sure did go faster. Tony Curtis didn't take no 10 hours.
Peter Falk. It was a great movie.
Oh, yeah, Peter. How'd you like to be with Peter? They drove up the coastline, too, pretty much, of the lake. God. Put on by the Chicago Times-Herald. First prize, $5,000.
Maybe they swam part of the way.
Why not? Both drivers, he had a Benz. This is before Mercedes-Benz. So he had a nice car. Well, as nice as can be. And the car basically is a carriage with a motor and four wheels. It's a motorized wagon. I almost hate to call them cars.
It's a horseless carriage.
It's a horseless carriage. It's what it is. You're right. In 1920,
dumbless carriage.
The Irish Republican Army, the ambush of the big convoy in Britain, killing 17. The
it's
Irish
not that many. They could have done better.
Well, the Irish Come War of Independence. It rages
Somebody
on.
Shirked his duty there.
Did.
You're gonna kill at least 30 or 40.
And in 1925. Broadcasting in Nashville, Tennessee begins on WSSM, the Barn Dance. WSSM.
I want to see 1S, yes.
Barn Dance. What did they broadcast?
The Emperor Concerto?
Nope. No. Oh, no. We're in Nashville. You know what you'd broadcast in Nashville. You ready? Yeah. I'll tell you, there's only one thing. And well, not so much anymore. Nashville's really a happening city. But back then, here's what you got.
You got the tag. Oh, there it is.
$1.98. The Grand Ole Opry. Do you ever watch that?
No.
I didn't think.
I don't watch it. I don't listen to it.
I had some good stuff, man. Today, Nashville, though.
I haven't
though.
Detected anything good about it, but I guess.
They got
listen,
some great stuff.
As long as the government doesn't subsidize it.
Oh, my
great.
God.
Great. All I'm trying to say is there's an audience for it, unlike PBS.
Which there's an audience for.
But, well, then it doesn't need to be
I
subsidized.
I watched an incredible documentary on the Beatles the other night. It was wonderful. The touring years. They even had highlights from St. Louis, where we do this show out of. Playing in the rain at the old Busch Stadium, which was brand new the year they played in it. How about that? You could see the arch in the background and everything. It was quite a shot.
Okay.
All right.
So why do we subsidize it? So such wonderful
again.
Broadcasting.
All programming. Right. Moving on. We're halfway through the event, so let's see who was born on this date. 1757, William Blake. Armand, you love poetry.
Yeah.
How do you rate
I don't know about his
Blake?
Poetry. I like his paintings.
You like the paintings
great
better?
Great painter, man. Okay. I like Blake.
1866, Henry Bacon. Now, if you've ever heard the name, it's a good trivia question. Who designed the Lincoln Memorial?
I wouldn't have got that one.
It's easy to remember because it's bacon.
Yeah.
Now,
bacon links. It's not sausage.
There you go.
I don't know. That could be confusing.
1936, this beauty was born.
You missed several here. 1820, Frederick Engels. I mean, let's give him a raspberry. Everybody's favorite commie, but he had a great beard. You got to admit, the guy had one hell of a beard.
Well, but how's he everyone's favorite commie?
Well, he kept Marx so he didn't have to work. Kept him in money, which was nice.
Mm.
I don't know if those two guys slept together. I don't think so, but who knows? Anyway. Who cares?
I love that's where your
but
mind
now we
goes.
Got 1887, one of my favorites, Ernst Röhm. We've talked about the Night of the Long Knives.
Yes,
this is
the
guy in charge. Now, this guy is an established LGBT, which is nothing wrong with that, although Hitler thought there was.
We had a gay Nazi, for the record.
Oh, big time.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was the problem, because Hitler thought, well...
Is that why they got the real nice shirts and everything?
Oh, nice pressed starch.
Yeah, the starch.
Yeah, not a wrinkle in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the little...
thin, white, neat.
Hey, what? And lavender? The lavender shirts. No, they're the brown shirts, and these guys, Hitler thought that Rome was had a little too much power.
Yes.
And he kind of did. He had 2 million stormtroopers.
Good God.
They were like the, they were the enforcement arm of the Nazi party. Well, the army didn't like that, so Himmler and Goering and those guys, of course, didn't like this. And like I said, a big problem was these guys were openly gay and having these crazy parties. Well, that was costing Hitler the evangelical vote.
There were no evangelicals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Fucking A, there were.
Really?
1920s Germany. Are you kidding?
I thought you just had Catholics and Lutherans.
Well.
Who's the
religious people.
Okay, that's not evangelical,
yes,
though.
It is.
How?
Because they believe in the evangelicals.
You don't know.
Evangelists.
You don't know.
They were, what? That's a joke,
yes,
son.
They are.
They cost them the religious
they
backing
They are
of the
religious,
people.
But.
This is getting to be, this is getting to be an embarrassment.
Yes.
This guy's got to go.
Yeah, Lutherans don't like this, neither do Catholics.
Right, evangelicals is just a catch-all.
Nah, be careful. It's not a catch-all. It's a certain sect today.
I shit upon you. All right, so anyway, he's got to go. And, of course, the night, I guess it was June 30th, 1934, Night of the Long Knives, Rome gets it. Pow, pow.
Yeah.
The SS knock him off. Himmler got his way. So, 1887, he was born.
How do we ever get to know about him? You would think that they would have done everything to erase.
Oh yeah, but they this stuff survives. Well, now we know about Stalin; they tried to do that too. How about all these? How about Ilya Gabalus? Transvestite emperor. These things.
They tend to get out.
They propagate.
Yeah, they do.
They persist. The evil that men do. How's that go? I come here to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do. Let's see. The good that men do is oft interred with their bones. Wait a minute. No, it goes the other way. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones. Mark Antony, Act 3, Julius Caesar. Let's see. 1894, God himself. Well, not God, but one of Jesus' disciples, Henry Hazlitt. I strongly recommend everybody that hears my voice read Economics in One Lesson. You won't.
Economics in One Lesson.
Yeah.
Go
Even
to
you can read it quickly.
This Day in History Podcast.
That's all you need to know. You don't have to take any classes. Just read that.
Click the Amazon
You'll
banner.
You'll be an expert. You'll know more than Paul Krugman, I'll tell you
and,
that.
And simply type in the search for Economics in One Lesson.
Henry
Hazlitt.
This guy also wrote The Failure of the New Economics, which is one of my favorite
what
books.
What year did these come out in?
That was in the 50s, Failure of the New Economics. I think that was around that time, too.
All right.
I mean, this guy took over for H.L. Mencken as the editor of the American Mercury, so that's Jesus taking over for God there. And Foundations of Morality is another good one. Anything by Hazlitt had a strong influence, was influenced, of course, by von Mises.
Uh-huh.
And he also had a strong influence on Friedman and Thomas Sowell.
Did he have a strong influence on the whole Chicago School of Economics?
I would say so, yeah. And the St. Louis School of Economics, which is based right here.
Mm-hmm.
So Henry Hazlitt, Happy birthday, buddy.
Okay.
Love that guy. All right, go ahead.
1936.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I could beat that, too. 1923, Gloria Graham.
Ah.
Academy Award winner for Bad and the Beautiful. Remember, we've gone over this. She was Violet Bick. That's her probably most famous part in It's a Wonderful Life. Well, next time you watch Violet Bick and Jimmy Stewart, you know, remember that? We swim in it. Remember that? We climb out to Mount Bald Eagle.
She was 22, 23 when she filmed that?
Yeah, well, she's not done yet. So she marries Nicholas Ray, who we've told this story, who's the director of many things, but probably most famous.
El Cid?
No, that was, El Cid was, Anthony Mann.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. But he directed Rebel Without a Cause.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he did, I think you're thinking of, one of those. He did one, either, I can always get them confused, Greatest Story Ever Told or Jesus of Nazareth, or whatever, or, the other one. What was the other one? Greatest Story Ever Told.
Ten Commandments?
King of Kings.
King of Kings.
One or the other.
King
he directed.
Okay.
I think it was King of Kings. Anyway, he comes home. And Gloria's in bed with, that's right,
the
his 13-year-old
son.
Yeah, her stepson. Yep. And she ends up ditching Nicholas, marrying the son.
How'd she marry a 13-year-old?
Well, I mean, it's a few years later.
Oh, they waited?
Yeah. So anyway.
There's a psychological condition for women who do that, right? There's got to be.
It's called horniness.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No,
pederast.
Something's going on there. Something's going on.
Well, I'll say.
All right, now you ready? 1936. Mm-hmm. Now here's a guy who was on his way to becoming.
Oh, by the way, the other good one you want to see her in is The Big Heat.
Oh yeah,
where Lee Marvin throws coffee in her face. Great scene. Great scene. Okay, now go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna try it for the fifth time.
I'm trying to sell product here. You're just
1936.
Wandering. Okay.
Guy who probably was gonna be the Democratic.
Oh, is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still kicking, baby. And he was probably going to be the Democratic nominee. He may have well become president of the United States. We don't know. We'll never know.
I doubt that.
Because he got on a boat named Monkey Business.
Right. With was it? Well, don't tell me. Was it? Who was that? Donna Rice?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Donna Rice.
Well, I almost forgot.
And so happy birthday, Gary Hart.
You know, nowadays, that wouldn't even be a big deal, right? I mean, was he married? Was that the problem?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, so what? Nobody cares.
No, here's the problem.
I mean, I hate the guy, but
dude,
I still would have voted for
him. Here's
the
problem.
What's the problem?
You know what the problem is.
What do you think the French would care?
If he was a Democrat, it's a huge problem.
All bullshit.
If he's a Republican, it's no problem.
Are you kidding? It's the opposite. It's the other way around.
No, it's not.
Of course it's the other way around. Because the Republicans supposedly are the party of, you know, marital fidelity, et cetera. They got a bigger problem.
Clearly they're not.
Well, nobody says that, but that's what they purport
that's
to
they
be.
That's what they purport, but...
Well, that's why it would be a bigger problem for Republicans.
If he was a Republican, and everybody... No, it doesn't matter.
Well, why did it matter then to the Democrats? Oh, so you're telling me it matters to...
Because the Democrats
did it matter
don't know...
Bill Clinton?
Because they don't know how to win. That's why.
They don't know how to win.
Who
wins all the elections? I thought Hillary won last election.
Do I have to draw you a map of who's winning all the elections in this country? It's not even close, pal.
What are you talking about?
Republicans win.
Not the presidential elections.
Who's in the office now?
So what?
So
who
what?
Won the last, four out of the last five? Or four out of six? You're telling me the Republicans. Okay, I'll give you that. But the Democrats have all the power.
Do they?
Of course.
Who's got the Senate?
Doesn't matter.
Who's got the House?
Doesn't matter. Is anything getting done?
Who's got all the state houses?
Nothing's getting done. At the state level, maybe.
We could go on and on about why nothing's getting done. I'm just dealing in fact. The Republican Party has grabbed over 700.
That's because Obama stinks. He was a terrible
700
president. 700. More like 1,000.
State Senate 1,000. Seats, probably heading to
House,
1,000.
Yeah, House and Senate seats, right.
I'm not talking federal. I'm talking about on the state
why
level.
Why is that?
They know how to win elections.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yes, they do.
Right. Oh, the Democrats are so inept. Look at how these Republicans are fumbling now. They haven't done a damn thing.
They're fumbling with legislation. They don't fumble with elections.
They don't have any power. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. In Alabama,
what good is it?
When we both agree that Roy Moore is going to be elected on December 12th.
Well, I don't know. Now they got a write-in candidate. Did you see that?
Yeah. I stand by my three-point Roy Moore win. You got him at 8.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I'll say. I'll
say let
it.
You come down a little if you like, but we both have him winning.
Okay. So what's in Alabama? What do you think's going to happen?
He's a pedophile. Doesn't matter.
Accused.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Listen, if he admitted it, that's different. But the guy keeps denying. Why would? First of all, if he did it, he'd get out of the race, I think. This guy did it, but he's going to keep going.
Yes, he did it, and he's going to keep going.
Oh, shit.
Jesus.
Who's naive now, Kay?
I wish I had that. I'd have you bumped off.
1943? This gentleman is born who gives us this. I love this song, Armand. Listen to that. I want you to know, Armand, that no matter what you say on this show, no matter what you do. You got a
friend in me. Is he still alive?
Yeah. You got a
friend in me. Hasn't done anything lately, has he?
When the road when you write songs like this, you don't need to do a lot.
It's not that brilliant. I don't know.
It's a great song.
The only thing I can say about this guy, I guess since he's Randy Newman, I assume he's part of the Newman family. Is he Alfred Newman's son? Because if he's Alfred Newman's son, then his father is a genius.
Maybe.
Don't know. Well, I assume. You know, I guess his father's Alfred Newman, right?
I'll look that up for you. Randy Newman. Who is his dad?
Huh. Got to be Alfred, right?
Is that Alfred E. Newman?
No.
Oh. Now, that would be a story. That would be a story.
This guy, I think, I don't know how many Academy Award nominations he's got. Anyway.
Where is his parents here?
Yeah, should be pretty early on. Hey, give him some money. Are they asking for money again?
Wikipedia, and yeah. They always do.
All right. Well, it's Christmas. If everybody gave
He is the son of Adele and Irving George Newman. So,
never heard of him.
Nope. Right. Nope. Wrong guy. 1950. Happy birthday to Ed Harris.
Okay. Yeah, passable actor.
Passable. Not one of my favorites. Pretty great.
No, he was okay in Pollock.
He did a good job in Pollock. Yeah. He was great in The Right Stuff. He was great in Glengarry Glenn Ross.
Apollo 13 wasn't bad.
No.
Oh, he's all right. He's a character actor. He's all right.
He's great.
I like him as a villain better, though.
He does play a good villain. I got to tell you, man.
Well, he's
he does.
Bald.
He does. He can put on a mean look.
He's got
too.
A little Lanugo up there.
1959, Judd Nelson. Boy, he was something back in the day.
He's washed up.
Well, you just can't get anything. I haven't seen Judd Nelson, come on, this is The Breakfast Club. This is all those great 80s teen angst movies, plus a few others.
Got into him.
1961, a good Mexican director, Alfonso Cuarón.
What's he done?
Well, he did Prisoner of Azkaban. He did Gravity.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he win for that?
He has an Oscar.
I thought that was Inarritu or whatever his name was. The guy that won two in a row. I don't think it's this guy.
Oh, Inarritu is
well, yeah, he won
terrific
two, when,
as
did,
well.
What did this guy win? I don't think this guy won an Academy Award.
I thought he did. Awards, Academy Award for Best Director.
For what? Was it Gravity?
Gravity. 2014.
Well, what did Inarritu win for? He won for that stupid DiCaprio movie.
Which stupid one?
Oh, the one he's dragging himself through the...
Oh, The Revenant?
The remake of... that Richard Harris.
I was
movie.
Looking forward to that, and
that
then
was
I
awful.
Man, well, it wasn't awful. But
how many shots do we have to see of him looking up at the stars and the trees? How many times?
It felt like a Terrence Malick film at one point.
Yeah, I think he had a good point. It felt like a French movie, and that's about the worst insult I can give it.
1962. Happy birthday, John Stewart, host of the. oh come on!
Yeah, what is this guy? You know, the thing is, I don't blame the guy for making a pile of money, but you know. People that get all their news from this guy. Can you imagine? He's on Comedy Central for God's sake.
Yeah, it's a satirical show.
I agree. That's fine. But most people think they take it as gospel.
No, they don't.
I don't know about
that.
No,
they don't.
What would you admit that it's their only exposure to this to news?
No.
Oh, bull.
No. Well, they wouldn't. If it was their only exposure to news, then they wouldn't even understand what the hell he's talking about.
I don't understand what he's talking about.
Well,
then you're listening to him.
Then you're not. Well, you see, there you go.
He's not even on TV anymore, is he?
No,
he
no,
done?
No. What's Daily he? Show now is hosted by Trevor Noah, who's really pretty good.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. No, he's.
I miss the Daily Show.
Stewart's
daily.
Into films.
What?
He's
really?
Yeah.
What's
he's
he doing.
He's producing documentaries and.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta hand it to him. You know, done very well with very limited talent and.
Oh no, he's
intellect.
got he's got Tremendous talent. He's got tremendous intellect.
He's probably got 30 writers on that show.
Of course he does.
Well, so what? Get me 30 writers. Get me 10.
You're supposed to be one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, not so good. 1967.
Now we got somebody.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Oh God, I miss
Anna
her.
Nicole Smith. Boy, you talk about a bombshell.
Yeah, she was all right.
I mean, she's a bombshell in any decade.
Yep.
And her demise was so unfortunate. But this is her birthday. I remember the first time I saw her was in a Guess ad, probably in a magazine. You know,
she probably was thin then though. Wasn't
no,
she?
She was a curvy girl. She was a curvy girl.
I like that.
Yeah. And Guess,
she stretched that question mark on that Guess label.
They did not. They weren't. You know, they weren't trying to do the heroin chic thing. You know, they were vivacious.
Well, good for Guess.
Because, I mean, I forget how she was discovered, but something like in a choke and puke in somewhere in Houston, Texas.
You can't miss her.
Yeah, and of course she married the guy who was already in his 90s. And
yeah, I forgot what his name was.
Man, what a deal that was.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, how'd you like to be his kids?
But I'll tell you what. Now you get those sex robots. We don't need Anna Nicole Smith anymore. Yeah.
Well, you can get one that looks just like her.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's what you can do. All right, back to the events.
I'm getting the Pamela Anderson model.
Which one? The pre-surgery or
she was nothing pre-surgery.
The Baywatch?
Right. Well, no, that was pre, right?
Yeah, but she got lips done. And
what was that terrible movie she made? Barbed Wire. The Barbed Wire, Pamela Anderson.
Okay.
In Bubble Bath.
No.
I went to see that with Ocho. He wanted his money back.
Yeah, he was
pissed. Never got to see her naked.
Yeah, he was pissed. 1943, this is the date that FDR and Churchill and Joseph Stalin...
Watch that movie. He's literally trying to blow the bubbles out of the bathtub on the screen. Hey, the usher had to come get him. Pull him away. Come on, let's see that. You know, the Ocho Man.
God.
All right.
And you can listen to the Ocho Man on Behind the Eight Ball here on lineupmedia.fm. That's just
He's
one of
He's got a his, new guest.
One of
new,
Darren Yates.
No, not Darren. He's been around. This new girl that was there Saturday.
Oh, I don't know.
She
I
doesn't seem
I
like
not,
a nice little girl,
I,
nice lady.
I have not met her yet. So FDR, Churchill, Stalin get together November 28th, 1943. Now, if you're going to have a meeting, Armand, you're going to get together and have a meeting. And you say, where could we possibly meet? How the hell do you come up with terrain?
Where are you going to be? Anywhere else might get bombed. In fact, they were talking about, we talked about Operation Long Jump, I think it was, where Skorzeny was going to go assassinate these guys at Tehran.
Wow.
That may be apocryphal. I don't know. But he had the balls to try it. Just never quite came off. I also think this is probably the first time FDR was on a plane, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. Yeah. Can you imagine trying to transport him all the way to Iran in that day? How long did that take?
About the same time it took to get from Jackson Park to
5 days or 10 hours? No way they made it in 10 hours.
I don't know how he come across on a cruiser or something. They had to fly him, I think. I don't know. Anyway.
So they had to fly.
Nothing got done at this. You know, he sold us out as usual, Franklin. Thanks, FDR. War strategy, right?
1967. This is the first time that a pulsar was discovered. And it's discovered by two astronomers, Jocelyn Bell Burnell and Antony Hewish.
Oh, yeah. I think he won the Nobel Prize for this.
Very good. Now,
she got nothing.
There's a prize.
She got bupkis.
Now, Jocelyn.
Well, we were talking about that. Before this, a lot of times, in fact, this may have been the first time, like 73, because it was several years later, they didn't give the prize out for astronomy.
Right.
So, well, this was kind of, anyway, momentous.
So, describe to me pulsar.
Pulsar is we've already discussed this. When a star goes supernova.
Supernova.
All that's left is this remnant. And then a lot of times what that happens is if it's a certain size, it spins. A slow-spinning pulsar. It's very small. It's a neutron star that spins.
God, when you say very small, though, give me a...
Like the size of a city, like 20 kilometers. Not much.
Ooh.
In diameter.
So
but
not,
it's got all the mass of the sun, or like six times the mass of the sun.
So, right. So very dense.
Yeah. Only thing denser is a black hole, theoretically.
But
and it's
smaller
spins.
Than a lot of asteroids.
Oh, God. It's much smaller. Tiny.
Wow.
But okay. Anyway, so this thing, Paul, it's magnetic, this thing. And it spins.
So how do you pick it up?
Well, what happens is apparently what if there's
do you see
like,
a magnetic distortion? Or?
No, you actually see the pulse of light or electromagnetic gamma rays or anything like that. And anything that's electromagnetic doesn't have to necessarily be in the visible spectrum.
So you
radio.
Oh, okay.
But it's like usually what happens
you pick
is
it up
sucking,
outside
it's sucking in. It's if there's like a star nearby.
Yes.
And it sucks in. Like an accretion disk in a black hole or whatever, it sucks in all this from a mass from the other star,
mm-hmm.
and as it spins, depending on how big it is, it spins faster. The bigger the star was before it blew up, the faster it spins.
Does a pulsar ever reignite?
No. No, I can't do that.
Okay.
But it sends off these, and all this stuff's going and swirling, and then it's almost like a lighthouse. As it spins, it's ejecting this stuff, and as it's we see it from... You know, so it's very accurate, too, almost as accurate as an atomic clock. I think the fastest is like 700 a second, 700 rotations a second.
So imagine a lighthouse spinning and that beam
right when it's
coming back
us,
around.
We catch it, yeah. That's why they couldn't figure out what the hell this thing was.
Is it only one beam, or is it like a bidirectional, like a lighthouse?
Yeah, probably catch it twice because it's going on both poles. It
goes from both poles.
Yeah.
Because that's where it can get out through the magnetic field. Am I thinking about this right?
Well, it's not like a yeah. It has to. I mean, obviously, it's going to have energy because yeah, it has to escape the gravity of the
mm-hmm.
damn thing.
Okay,
but this isn't the stuff that's heading toward. Like I said, as it spins and sucks this stuff up, some of it gets shot out.
Sure,
doesn't you know? But that's what they're saying. I think that's what they call it.
So is the pulsar completely radioactive?
Well, it's not radioactive.
No,
it's okay. Gravity. It's that's gravity.
Just that dense.
Yeah. The density of it. In fact, that's why, I don't know, it wasn't that stupid Matthew McConaughey movie just came out not too long.
Interstellar.
Right. Remember he went on a neutron star?
Yes.
And stayed in the spaceship aged like 20 years.
Right. And he stayed a few more seconds.
Yeah,
and
it distorted gravity. So, you know, the gravity distorts
so it,
time.
Well, I have to say this right, correct? It distorts time, space, or space,
space time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Kind of.
Anyway,
those
so,
are heavy concepts.
The interesting thing is the first extrasolar planet detected was in orbit around a pulsar. Of all things.
Yeah.
Which surprised
and
the
they detect
out of some
a
people.
Lot of planets around a binary star systems,
well, yeah,
right?
Those two.
Okay. Yeah, get that new web up there pronto. Let's get it going, boys.
We'll ever do it. Jeez.
1972. The last executions by this method occur in Paris, France. So you may know what's already coming. Claude Buffet, Roger Bontemps.
I wonder if they were, you think they were sodomizing each
other?
Don't
know. Don't know. But both gentlemen are guillotined at La Santé prison in Paris, France, November 28th, 1972. In my lifetime, Armand. In your lifetime. Guys going to the guillotine.
I think I'd rather go this way. Quick. I think I'd rather have this than the stupid injection.
I'd rather go with the morphine drip.
Yeah, I don't know about those. You never know with those damn things.
What do you mean you never know? I'm falling asleep.
I don't know
then
about that.
Then it's just all shutting down.
Why don't you just go in your garage? I think it's carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah.
Put them in a booth and put it in a car engine. And anyway, well, the other ones, remember the cyanide? They dropped the cyanide and the...
Yeah.
They showed that pretty much.
I forget what the comedian who came up with this form of execution was. He said, what they should do, you've been sentenced to death. And the guy's sitting there in the courtroom. You're free to go. Now, that's punishment.
I don't get it.
You're sentenced to death. You're free to go. Meaning, we're going to kill you. But go ahead. Leave. You don't know
that's
when it's coming. You don't
cruel,
know how it's
going.
Well,
punishment.
See, I thought that'd be up your alley.
Well, that's what the mob
you're for
does.
Guys being guillotined.
Well, yeah, because that's instant and it's painless.
Yeah, so is morphine.
I don't know about that.
You don't know about morphine is.
Why don't they use it then? They don't use morphine to kill them. These injections.
I don't know what they use. Like three different things.
Yeah, right.
I thought
and
I thought
their heart stops their heart.
Have you on a sedation even before you got there?
It's not a bad idea. Or they kill you like Dylan Thomas.
What was that, the 18, drinking?
Yeah, 18 whiskeys.
Whiskeys.
It's a record.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you should be able to pick your own way. 1989, yeah. The Velvet Revolution. This is the day that Czechoslovakia says, you know what? We give up. our monopoly on political power, we're stopping.
The world turned upside down.
So Czechoslovakia basically leaves the Iron Curtain, leaves communism behind on this date. And in 1990, one of Armand's favorites, the Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher,
Iron Lady,
resigns as leader of the Conservative Party, meaning that she is also resigning as the Prime Minister.
Yeah,
and she would be succeeded in both positions as the Conservative Party leader and the PM by John Major.
Yeah, well, anyway, I thought it was Heseltine. He was challenging her and she was losing her popularity a little bit, and she was accused of, you know, just because she wasn't giving milk to the kids. Heartless, you know. Rescinded that, you know, that sort of thing, and cut some government workers.
Should she have called for an election before that?
I don't know. I guess she thought she was going to lose. Probably thought she was going to lose. So
when the tide turns, you're kind of...
Well, she'd been around for 11 years.
It's like
Roosevelt.
How many...
She wasn't terminal. And
like, if you're...
Kept going, like a pope.
That's a hard thing, though. If you're the PM...
Thinks he's emperor.
You know, you got to gauge calling for these elections carefully.
Well, Theresa May's, I guess she's doing all right, but...
Well, she's hanging in there.
I don't like her.
You don't?
Nope.
You liked her when she got in.
Yeah, before I found out she was anti-Brexit, and she's kind of a
globalist
dumb shit. I think she is.
I think she's Brexit realistic.
What's that mean?
Realizes just how hard this is going to be.
Well, it shouldn't be. What's so hard? We're getting out. The hell with you.
Yeah. Well, you got a lot of things to unnegotiate. Clock's ticking, by the way. We're coming up on 2018. I don't think they've made a lick of progress. Have they?
What, in Brexit?
Yeah.
Well, it's like 2 years. I didn't know that, but it's, you know, supposedly take 2 years. I don't know what takes so long.
Negotiations.
About what? What are you going to negotiate?
All sorts of things.
You're a free trader, right? So am I. No tariffs. That's it. Done.
I don't know.
You know what that would do?
I don't think it's that simple, though, what they've actually set up. I mean, you're talking about... You know,
hell no, if you're in the European Union, yeah, which is supposed to be, ironically, a trade union, or not a trade union, but
right.
a union for trade.
A union for trade.
Right.
Okay. So that's the events. Who died today?
The European Union.
Armand and I started in 1785. The death?
Well, 1680.
1680.
Gian Lorenzo Bernini. Hell of a sculptor, man.
I got a whole book on him at home.
Well, you should have put him in because he's a great sculptor.
It's called Bernini's Rome.
Well, bring it in.
Yeah, it's a very... Oh, the pictures are fantastic.
I know, because I'll never go to Rome, but...
Why not?
Because
it costs
expensive.
It costs money.
That's right. I go to Vegas.
That costs money, too.
Not as much.
Okay.
And they got better buffets.
Well, I don't know about that.
The food's better in Vegas.
I don't know about that, sir. I ate really well in Rome.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You keep making your cheap jokes.
That was an easy one.
Man, that's good food.
Yeah, had a
lot of fish, though.
Nice buffet last night.
A lot of fish.
Hollywood, because I don't want to eat fish.
Yeah. No, but you get
steak.
Every pasta.
Well, a pasta, too.
Possibly. Oh, man.
All right.
Salty,
Bernini,
though.
I don't know why you left him out.
I forgot about him.
Put this guy in.
That's my name of the day. William Whipple.
I don't even know who he is.
Well, he was a general and a politician.
Mr. Whipple, remember?
Yeah, that's why I put him in. I think he was the inspiration for Mr. Whipple.
Don't squeeze the Charmin. Who was the guy that played him?
I think a couple people played.
The guy with the mustache. God, I should know that. It's been a long time.
Let's see here.
Give him his initials. I might be able to get him. Mr. Whipple. He was in, you know, he did a lot of TV. Yeah. And
George Whipple, that's the character.
Yeah, yeah, we know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can only think of one guy, the bald-headed guy, you know, with the mustache and the glasses. Okay, anyway, who's Dwight Davis? Davis Cup guy?
Yeah, American tennis player, politician.
Secretary of War.
Secretary of War, and the Davis Cup, the international tennis competition, is named for him.
He didn't have better things to do than be secretary. I hope that was after he was Secretary of War.
I think so. But he played tennis very well.
All right, now we got a guy that's actually...
Well, 1954, and this was a loss because he could have used him for another decade or two. By the way, Mr. Whipple is played by Dick Wilson.
Dick Wilson.
Character actor who was on many sitcoms in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, yeah, he's great. I liked him.
Appeared in more than 500 commercials.
I believe it. Him and the guy, was it Jules White? Was a Maytag repairman?
Yeah, then it went to the guy from WKRP.
Oh, really? The guy that was... Yeah, right.
Because Jules passed away, I think, was the deal. Yeah. So 1954, yeah, could have used this guy for another decade or so.
Enrico Fermi.
Lived down the block from my friend Ken Kinneman. Grew up two blocks from Enrico Fermi's house in Hinsdale, Illinois.
Well, did he go over and catch a lecture?
No, he was dead.
Lecture?
No, he was dead. Oh. See, he died in 1954, but...
How the hell am I supposed to know how old your friend is?
The Fermi house is... And he showed me where he lived, and I got to tell you, for the guy who did all this...
You know, he was not that kind of guy. He was very humble.
Nice house, don't get me wrong. Nice place.
Yeah, but not, right.
But not a big deal.
This guy's a theoretical and experimental physicist, more or less along the lines of like Feynman, you know. He's not one of those guys like Einstein walking around, you know, with his shoes untied.
Thought experiment.
And his pants unzipped and thinking, thinking he's riding on a photon of light. This guy actually, you know, he talked the talk and walked the walk. The first nuclear pile, of course, under Stagg Field. The squash courts, remember that? 1942.
That's Stagg Field on the south side of Chicago?
Well, yeah, University of Chicago.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so that was the first nuclear chain reaction, 1942. The weak interaction, he coined that, or he discovered it. Strong, weak, electromagnetism, and gravity, the four forces. They still haven't unified. Let's get to it, huh?
Will there ever be a unified field?
Doesn't look like it. Will I ever get laid on Tinder? Probably not.
I think you have.
Oh, I did.
Well, Bumble, for the old folks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's not Tinder. It was Bumble. That's right. Bumble got me.
There you go.
Never got laid on Tinder. Fermium.
Yep.
Number 100. Element number 100. And the Fermi paradox, which is basically saying, hey, there's billions of stars, right?
That's right.
These stars probably have planets, right? So there's hundreds of billions of planets, right?
Oh, easily. Okay. We already know, like we were saying.
And we've been around for billions of years?
Yesterday's show. There's already discovered over 3,600 exoplanets, or do you like extrasolar planets?
Exoplanets.
I like exoplanet, too. So just extrapolate that out.
Well, that's not what... Yeah, the point is, where the hell is everybody? We should have been visited by now.
Well...
That's the Fermi paradox.
Here's one of the things that maybe plays into that. Time.
Well, that's what he said, but we've been around. A lot of these are within a million. Yeah, but these people have probably
been
millions of years, so they should have already visited.
Yeah, but you have to match up because what if they had?
He said they've been around for millions.
What if
billions
they had
years?
An extinction event, though?
Yeah, well, that's what he's saying. But statistically, we should have been visited.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. Even if they had their own extinction event.
My theory on this.
Well, that's not Fermi's theory.
We've done the
Drake equation.
We've done a whiskey philosopher show on this. Jeff Cooper and I did. Because Jeff, he's a believer that there's life out there, as I am too.
Yeah,
statistically,
but it's intelligent.
Right. My theory is, Armand, we're not alone into the Fermi paradox, but we're relatively alone.
Well, he's saying we shouldn't be relatively alone either.
Well, I know, but where is everybody?
Well, that's the paradox.
I'll keep coming back to it, you know.
Well, that's what he was saying, too.
And there's a whole bunch of great theories.
He's saying that he took time into account. You know, that
things have to match up.
They could have even been in space for millions of years. They still would
have flown by. Let's say 100 million
by.
Years ago, the best civilization ever in the galaxy rose to prominence. If they would have traveled here, what did they see? They saw dinosaurs, right?
100 million years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they could have left their calling card somehow.
Well, maybe they did. Then you get into the ancient astronaut theorist type of thing.
I'm just repeating the paradox.
The paradox is fascinating, though.
Sides
man.
On this.
No, the Fermi paradox is well worth
that's what the Drake equation, right? That's what you take on the stars that have planets. The planets that probably have, you know, intellect. You know,
I know.
Supposedly, there's millions of these things.
If you take all the stars, you got to figure.
Well, we don't have. Just read the Drake equation.
You got to figure at least 5 to 6 planets per at a baseline level, right? I mean, we got 9.
Yeah, but
technically 9.
How many of those are going to be in the Goldilocks?
Well, you get in the habitable zone. Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, it keeps reducing. You know, because you don't need a gas giant in the habitable zone. You need a terra firma planet.
Yeah, which would probably be better if you had a gas giant to eat up all the things that's going to hit the damn
thing. That's true.
Like so you need a Hoover.
You need a Hoover planet to suck everything away from you.
Because you get those Shoemaker-Levy comets.
That's right.
All right, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, well, for the hell with that. Rosalind Russell died in 1976. I liked her. I don't know why you put her on. 4-time Academy Award nominee. Probably the best one she ever did was His Girl Friday.
That's a good one.
Yeah, with Cary Grant and Ralph Bellamy.
Yeah.
Great movie. Yeah. And directed by
what
Howard
Hawks.
What
else did Ralph Bellamy star in that a lot of kids know?
Probably Trading Places.
Attaboy, Armand.
That's the only thing you would know.
Something post-1970.
I'm just watching him in The Professional.
Oh, Ralph Bellamy and the great Don Ameche.
Oh, no, but...
sitting in the back of that limo, making that dollar bet.
He was Ralph Bellamy in the last line of the movie. Now I forgot what his name was, but he said to Lee Marvin, he goes, "You bastard." And Lee Marvin goes, "Yes, with me it was an accident of birth, but you're a self-made man."
What movie?
The Professionals.
The Professionals.
Just got it on our site.
Do you consider that a Western?
Of course it's a Western.
Well, it's got a car in it, though.
Can
a Western have a car in it?
I don't know if it had a car in
it. This is the debate we used to have.
It had a train in it. I don't remember it having a car.
Well, Western can certainly have a train in it. Go back and see. I'm pretty sure there's a car in The Professionals. Good movie, though.
Well, good. You're telling me The Shootist isn't a Western?
Well, I think maybe if it has an automobile in it, it's not a Western.
It's a horseless carriage.
Well, it's...
1901. That's good enough. And that Big Jake? That's a Western. It had a car in it.
Then it's got to be a modern Western, like the Cormac McCarthy's.
Stop forming genres here.
I am forming genres. Old country.
And it's not a psychological
Western. No Country for Old Men is a modern Western.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
It had cars in it.
That's why it's a modern Western. So is Hell or High Water. You see that one?
Hell or High Water. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I don't know. I'd call that a gangster movie more than I call it a Western.
It's a Western.
No, it isn't.
Well, then Butch Cassidy and Sundance is a gangster movie because they're robbing banks.
Yes, it is. That's correct.
Where am I?
Oh. Anybody gets kicked in the balls, it's not a Western.
Bob Musil.
Because they didn't do that in the West.
The great Yankee hitter, teammate of Babe Ruth, died in 1977.
Brother of Irish, right?
Yep. 1994, the death of Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, yeah. Beat him to death.
You knew he wasn't going to last in prison.
Well, that's why they put him in solitary. I know his mom was pissed off, I think, when they took him out of there. And are you guys all satisfied now?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be. If he killed, you know.
Yeah, I think they were satisfied.
I guess he killed. Were they all gay guys he killed? And eight?
I don't know about that.
This guy was like modern Ed Gein, man.
Is there even a profile for something that warped?
Man, he's fucked up, I'll tell you.
I mean, that is just beyond.
Now, the same day, Jerry Rubin died.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Yippies?
I left them off because I didn't want to hear a tirade from you.
No tirade. Who cares?
Okay.
Hey, man, anybody that runs a pig for president's okay with me.
Well,
Pegasus, remember? Right?
Pegasus.
That's great. And on top of all this, right, this guy is Mr. Mr. Anti-capitalism.
Yes, he is.
Right, he invests in Apple and makes hundreds of millions.
Isn't that the ironic thing?
Yeah, real ironic.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
He got in when Forrest Gump got in.
Yeah, prick. That's what I hate about him. Made more money than I did in the stock market, of all things.
Yeah.
Jeez. What kind of anarchist is that?
Well, disgruntled one, but a rich one.
Yeah. Well, he got killed?
No.
Crossing Wilshire Avenue. Boom. Dumb shit. Not watching where he's going. Jaywalking.
Don't ever cross Wilshire.
Yeah.
God's sakes.
Of all places in...
Which part of Wilshire?
Well, by UCLA.
Oh, really? At Westwood Village?
Westwood, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, good idea, Jerry.
Jeez.
Probably counting his money.
Even I have a hard time making a left turn there. I can imagine how someone
would
get hit.
Better watch what you're doing. Yeah.
You know, because you make an L.A. left, and when you make a strong L.A. left and suddenly someone's in that crosswalk...
Yeah.
They're screwed and you're screwed.
Yeah, well, I think the first car missed him, swerved. There's one behind. He didn't.
That's why.
Yeah, right.
Because you get right on the tail of somebody because the other, what can they do? They can either hit you or they can sit there and wait for you to clear the intersection, right?
Yeah, he was jaywalking.
Everyone does it. Even my daughter's mastered the LA left.
Well, anybody that's lived there knows what we're talking about.
Knows what we're talking about. But I can see a guy getting killed on one.
Same day.
The great Leslie Nielsen
died
in 2010. Oh, man.
He's pretty much deaf by this time, I think. Oh. I just watched Forbidden Planet the other day, too.
So damn funny.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Although, you know, he was like a leading man kind of guy.
Well, he was a
good
looking younger dude. You know?
I was calling
Leslie Nielsen circa what? Give me 1960.
That's 56, he made Forbidden Planet.
There you go. Yeah, he's only like 30 years old at that time, probably. Maybe in his his 20s.
Born in 26.
Let's
see
here.
30.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, born in 26. Yeah, 30 years old. Good. Yeah. But then Airplane. Oh.
Well, yeah, that's and all those what were they, Naked Gun things? They were pretty funny.
Classic. Well, he had George Kennedy with him. Good straight guy.
And OJ.
And OJ. He did. He did. Is it Niedermeyer?
Was that his name?
Neffel.
He was always
banged
traction
up.
And shit.
Yeah, he was always falls off the Dodger Stadium.
I like the series better, to tell you the truth.
The Naked Gun?
Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah. But there was a good the I don't know which one it was in, but remember where he goes to the shoeshine boy to get the to get the information, and the cardiologist comes up next. See, you got and the guy's getting like information on how to do a heart transplant or something. That was pretty funny. Guy's still in scrubs. You gotta reflect the pericardium in all. It's pretty funny. Getting tips on doing it. Yeah, no, that was all right.
Final death of the day, 2012. Zig Ziglar, soldier, great author.
What did he write?
Well, he's a motivational speaker and writer. My friend John Foppy worked for him for years.
Oh.
And you should check him out. Would like him, Armand.
All right, 1290, like Eleanor of Castile died.
What?
We still got the crosses of Castile. The one, the Charing Cross.
Yeah, Charing Cross
there?
Road.
Well, that's Eleanor of Castile because she went on a crusade with her husband, Edward I.
Is that why
I believe. Yeah, there were 12 of them. I think they're all still around. Although at Charing Cross, I believe.
No, I'm talking about Charing Cross Road.
I don't know about Charing Cross Road.
Well, there's
it's Charing
good,
Cross where there's the
lots
the,
of good bookstores
where this
on that
was,
street.
And there's a statue of Charles the Second on there, or Charles the First, I think, all there right. now.
Are you done?
But anyway, her husband, you know, yeah. Supposedly he gets shot by a poison arrow on the ninth.
Shoot that poison arrow.
The ninth crusade, and she uh-huh. sucks the poison out. Probably apocryphal because that doesn't work.
So it doesn't?
No, you don't suck the poison out of people.
Well, in Woody Allen's Bananas, someone got bit in the breast, and they had to suck the poison out.
Yeah, well, that's the joke, right? The two guys, and the guy gets bitten by a rattlesnake, and the guy runs to the doctor and says, you got to get down there, and you got to suck all the poison out, and he goes
got
back.
Got good news and bad news.
And the guy says, what are you going to do? What the doctor says? Said, you're going to die. Because the guy got bit on his dick. I forgot to say that. But
got bit on his phallus, Armand.
On his cod piece.
No. On his phallus.
Penis.
Yeah, there you go. Why don't you use the medical term, doctor?
Because this isn't a medical show.
Oh, that's true.
All right. Will you call it your hallux? You know what that is?
No. I know what my coccyx is, though.
Your coccus erectus?
No, my coccyx.
Yeah. It's the only bone that has no function, by
Jesus,
the way.
Jesus, and boy, when you hit it, it hurts like hell.
You'd be sitting
for
on
a bone that has no function. Why the hell does that thing hurt?
On a donut for a while.
Good grief.
Fractures easily, that's why.
What is that? Is that
it's a vestigial
It's
organ.
A vestigial?
Yeah.
So we don't
like
really need it, but it's evolutionary residue?
If you believe in that sort of thing.
I do. You ever see the babies
God
that are born
there.
With tails?
God put it there. Well, that's what it is. It's what's left of your tail.
Yeah. You know?
But... Unless if you don't believe in that sort of thing, which
I told my wife that she goes, I've never seen a baby born with tail.
Well, they have, they have those.
I think she thinks I'm talking about some long tail, like
just a
little stubby thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I got one of those in the front.
Little stubby thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Your little mini
doesn't work right either.
Yeah. Well, your age, you're lucky. November 28th is in the books.
Yeah.
Folks,
so
we thank you for listening. Give Armand a...
That's 1 year. We're done. Canceled.
No.
We're not coming back.
We press on. We soldier on. Part of the lineup, media.fm family. And we thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, subscribe.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I saw
iTunes,
something on...
Stitcher or Podbean.
I saw something on Facebook. Let's get this right here. I was going to say this is the... this would have made this not the penultimate show, but this would have been the ultimate show. But I saw something on Facebook about Charles Manson being the penultimate murderer or whatever. Penultimate just means next to last.
Yeah, like the penultimate lap of a race. It's the lap that...
So let's get that right.
You know, you're coming to the white flag.
And then what's the one before that? The anti-penultimate.
The anti-penultimate.
Ante.
Oh, with an E.
Yes.
Okay.
Before the penultimate, literally. Like antebellum, before the war.
Oh, before the war, yeah.
Antediluvian, before the flood.
There you go.
That's real old.
Got it.
Okay,
it.
So don't use penultimate as some sort of almost ultimate.
It wasn't me who used it.
Yes, well, somebody on Facebook did. Cut it out.
Yeah, cut it out.
That's
all right. That'll do it for today's show. Don't forget, tune in again. We'll be back covering the days we haven't covered, plus doing a few other things here on This Day in History, part of lineupmedia.fm. So long for now.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.